Let's stand up and do your wave. Yell if you want to. Hey, how you doing? Virtual hugs. It's the closest we can get to meet and greet. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having withdrawal from meet and greet and getting on my hugs. Maybe we'll hope soon. All right, let's start off singing Awesome God.
Morning. Welcome to Tramway Baptist Church. It's a beautiful morning. A little chilly outside, but it's mighty nice looking. Just a few announcements from the, newsletter. Today, there's a sign-up sheet in the vestibule for the Relay for Life, the silent auction, but it's the Relay for Life parking spot. So it's this closest one up at the, this is the northwest end of the parking lot with the Relay for Life ribbon on it, or the cancer survivor ribbon on it. I think there's only one or two folks have put in for it yet, but basically you just fill out on the silent auction form for a higher dollar amount, and that could be yours, and you'd be supporting a great cause. We are having a Lord's Supper service next Sunday morning. That's January 31st, so come out and participate in the service. Baptist Women's Day is coming February 21st, and there's a white box in the vestibule, and you can fill out a ballot for nominating for 2021 Baptist Woman of the Year. And, you know, just make sure we get some heartfelt and prayerful consideration for folks there. There are new church directories in the vestibule on the table. I want to let y'all know, if you saw in the prayer letter, Bobby Holland did have surgery. It was yesterday or day before, and that went well. But please keep he and Miss Mildred in your prayers. I think he'll be in the hospital for another few days recovering. And let's see. Also on the front table, there's new copies of the Journey and Stand Firm for February for your devotionals. Any other announcements you need to let folks know? All right, if y'all would, please bow with me in prayer. All right, Lord, we thank you for today and all that you've done for us. We thank you for bringing us out this morning into your house, Lord, getting us here safely. Lord, I ask that you've gotten us here on the right terms with you, Lord, that you would open our hearts this morning to hear the message that's been prepared for us, Lord. Help it sink in, Lord, that we would think on your word, Lord, this week as we go from this place. Lord, that we would think on you as we go about our daily lives, Lord. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Let's stand and sing At Calvary.
Thank you. I'm reading this morning from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 42, 6 and 46, verses 3 and 4. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and will save. Let us pray together. And Father, we come to you as we are, for we understand that we cannot hide anything from you, and certainly not our hearts. We confess to you our sins, and we acknowledge before you that there have been times, Father, when we have lacked conviction and determination in serving you and in living for you, fearing rejection, exclusion. There have been those times, Father, when we have allowed ourselves to be carried along by the values of this world. And we ask that you'd forgive us and that you would send us from this time of worship strengthened within with a new resolve to live for you and to live for you with all of our hearts, our minds, our strength. Grant us, O God, your presence and your power to overcome and the faith to rise above anything or anyone who would hold us back or pull us down. Help us to be still and know that you are God and that you are present with us in the world. Deepen our spiritual lives, O God, and teach us to measure all things, not whether they add to our joy or sorrow, but whether they bring us closer to you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Patsy. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but there are two things that a new year will always bring our way. The first is taxes. And we're less than 3 months away from tax time. I hate to mention that, but that's true. And the second thing that a new year will always bring our way is birthdays. Now, I tell you that because I'm a little bummed out about it, but I'm having a birthday this month. I'm not too excited about having another birthday, but I know that, you know, it beats the alternative. But it just seems that they come around more often than they used to. Have you ever noticed that when you're young, you think of birthdays in terms of fractions, were 4.5 or 5.5? Last year at this time, my granddaughter told me on more than one occasion that she was 15.5. You don't ever hear anyone say, I'm 25.5 or 36.5. And have you ever noticed how people describe certain ages? You turn 40, you reach 50, you make it to 60. But after that, you're going so fast that you hit 70 or 80. As someone said, when you get over the hill, you begin to pick up speed. Yes, I am. Someone asked me recently how old I was, and I said that I'm 39 and holding. They thought about that for a moment, and then they asked, well, how old would you be if you let go? And I replied, I'm 28 Celsius. Not everyone likes to talk about their age or reveal their age. I read about two neighbors who were locked in an ongoing feud, and finally they decided they were going to take their case to court, and when that day came and they both appeared in front of the judge, they started arguing about who would go first to tell her side of the story. Finally, the judge interrupted them and said, all right, I'll hear the oldest person first. The silence was deafening. And the case was dismissed for lack of testimony. Max Lucado tells us, my wife found an app that guesses a person's age by evaluating a picture of the person's face. It missed my wife Dylan's age by 15 years to the young side. She liked that. It missed mine by 5 years to the old side. I took it again. It added 7 more years. I took it again. It added 10. And Lucado said, I quit before it pronounced me dead. Well, like Max Lucado, I haven't been pronounced dead yet. And for that, I'm grateful. I can tell you this, however, that age is a great teacher. And I think that it would be a tragedy to live a long time and not learn anything positive or hopeful or encouraging from it. What have I learned all of these years? Well, I'm glad you ask. First of all, I have learned that beauty really is skin deep. Have you ever noticed how the Bible never elevates outward beauty, outward appearance? 1 Samuel tells us that God doesn't consider the physical person, the physical appearance of an individual, but he looks on the heart. And 1 Peter 3:3 tells us not to be too concerned about the externals when it comes to our appearance, but rather concentrate on the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable beauty that is within. About beauty, someone wrote, beauty is a 6-letter word that makes people crazy. The only beauty there is what's on the inside. Don't make yourself feel bad if you don't like what you see. Look deeper. And that's all you need. The outside is secondary, no matter what anyone says. Indeed, outward beauty will fade with age. But inward beauty will last a lifetime. I've known people over the years. We have a few of them here at Tramway, but I've known people over the years, men and women, who have cultivated those Christ-like qualities that Paul talks about in his letter to the Galatians when he tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I would tell you this, I see those qualities, those very same qualities in middle-aged people, people who are not yet old but will be. And when I look at them, when I see them, I think to myself, yeah, they're going to be beautiful all their lives. I hope you're one of them. Secondly, I've learned over the years that I haven't arrived yet. I still need work. Sometimes I need a lot of work to be the man that God has called me to be. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians, I want to gain Christ and possess His righteousness, the righteousness that comes by faith in Him, and I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. But then Paul goes on to tell us, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not there yet either. And God has a way of reminding us of that truth from time to time, educating us in the process. We just have to be open to Him, and we just have to be listening. Christmas Eve day, I went to the Wendy's in Clayton. The Wendy's in Clayton is notorious for getting your order wrong. Usually I run over there to get Carol. She likes those Frosties. I'll get her a chocolate or vanilla Frosty. Well, this particular day she wanted a strawberry lemonade, and I thought, well, since I'm going, I might as well get something to eat. I drove up to that little intercom box, and I said, I would like a strawberry lemonade, and I want an apple pecan chicken salad, and I don't want any blue cheese on the salad. No cheese, please. Back came the person on the other end and said, that's a strawberry lemonade and a cheeseburger. I said, no. I don't want a cheeseburger. I want an apple pecan chicken salad, and I don't want any blue cheese. Can't stand blue cheese. Got up to the window to pay. They handed me the strawberry lemonade. I put it in the cup holder. I'm waiting on the salad, and I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, that's not a strawberry lemonade. That's just plain lemonade. They opened that little window, hand me the salad. I hand the lemonade back and said, I want a strawberry lemonade. The girl takes the cup, turns to somebody inside and said, now he wants a strawberry lemonade. And I'm, this is true. And I'm just about shouting as they close that little door, I ordered a strawberry lemonade to start with. And of course, by this time, my temperature's up. And I'm waiting for them to open that little door again because I have something to say. Well, there's a different girl comes to the window this time and hands me a strawberry lemonade. Do you know she had the most pleasant look on her face? And do you know what the audacity she had to say to me? Merry Christmas, and God bless you. Do you know how disarming that was? How could I be upset after that? And it wasn't just what she said, but the way that she said it, you could tell that she meant it. And as I drove away, I heard God saying, well, John, did you learn anything today? And I said, yes, Lord. A soft answer turns away anger. Did you learn anything else? Yes. I'm not there yet. So I'll press on. I've also learned, and I'm still learning every day, the value of and a deeper appreciation for the privilege of praying. Now, I don't always get the answer I want. In fact, more often than not, I don't ask God for things in prayer. I don't ask God to do this or that for me. Rather, prayer has become a way, I think God's way, to unburden my heart and to invite Him into whatever it is going on in my life, whatever it is I'm facing. Cast all your cares upon Him, Simon Peter tells us, because He cares for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting is praying. Waiting is bringing everything before God in prayer. And He promises us that if we do that, He'll renew our strength. And more I see and more I understand that that is the great value and the great purpose of prayer. That as I share with God my hopes and my struggles and my failures and my fears, that He lifts those burdens. And many times my heart is lighter and I'm more and more able to face the day and whatever the day is going to bring my way. Richard French knew that so very well in his own life when he wrote, Lord, what a change within us one short hour spent in Thy presence will avail to make. What heavy burdens from our bosoms take, what parched ground refreshes with a shower. We kneel and all around us seems to lower. We rise and all the distance and the near stands forth in sunny outline, brave and clear. We kneel, how weak. We rise, how full of power. Why therefore should we do ourselves this wrong or others that we are not always strong? That we are ever overborne with care, that we should ever weak or heartless be, anxious or troubled, when with us is prayer and joy and strength and courage are with Thee. One thing more, there's so much more I could say to you, but one more. I've learned over the years that God's promises are true and faithful, that God keeps His word. Has He not promised us that He would never leave us alone, that He would not forsake us? Has He not promised us that nothing will ever separate us from His love? And I can attest to the fact that there are those experiences in life where it seems that life is more than you can bear. There are even times when you wonder, where are you, God? Don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you care what I'm going through? But then somehow, some of you know what I'm talking about, somehow you come through it and you move beyond it. And looking back, you can see God's hand in it all along the way, leading, directing, lifting, loving, seeing you through. An anonymous writer knew about that very thing. He expressed it this way, Lord, I have seen your work in my life. From birth, you brought me safely through childhood, and you led me through the traumas of my teen years, picking me up and dusting me off when I stumbled and fell more times than I care to admit. Though I didn't realize it when I was 20, 30, or 40, you sent friends and family to encourage me through the rough spots of life and celebrate with me when times were good. Looking back through those years, I see now that all those lucky breaks and happy coincidences of my life were your hand leading me, your love present in the course of my everyday. So why should I be afraid of turning 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90? Do I think you, eternal God, have never seen a wrinkle on a human face or laid eyes on a gray hair? Are you ever present, God, give up on people when they can no longer do the things they used to do? Have I ever seen you abandon your loved ones? No, Lord, that's not what I've seen. Instead, I've seen you smooth the lines of faces once worn with worry. And I've seen you fill with joy hearts once weighted down with grief. I've seen a young spirit dance in the eyes of elderly women, and the smile of peace warm the face of aged men. All this, Lord, I have seen, and that's why I have no fear of anything the years ahead may bring. I think John Newton knew that as well. He tells us this in that wonderful hymn when he says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far. His grace will lead me home. Frances Havergal believed that with all her heart. It has been said that Frances Havergal, the songwriter, lived and moved in the Word of God, that His Word was her constant companion. On the last day of her life, she asked a friend to read Isaiah 42 to her. And when the friend read the sixth verse, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand, I will keep you. Miss Havergal stopped her and she whispered, called, held, kept. I can go home on that. And she did. What a hope. What a faith. How is it with you? Well, you see, If you live long enough, someday your turn will come. Old age will find you. And I want you to know that it is never too early, although it can be too late, but it is never too early to give your heart to Jesus. by making him Savior and Lord of your life, to trust him for time and eternity. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." What a promise. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And because I know them, I give them eternal life. A middle-aged woman has a heart attack, and she leaves her body in a near-death experience, and she sees a bright light coming toward her, and a voice out of the light says, "It's not your time to go. You still have another 30 years. And immediately she goes back into her body and she lives again. And this woman believes that she has a new lease on life and she's going to take advantage of it. She has major cosmetic surgery, a facelift, liposuction, tummy tuck. She has the works, dyes her hair platinum blonde. She looks 20 years younger. And the next day she's crossing the street and she gets hit by a speeding car and she dies again. And again, she sees this bright light coming toward her, and with great indignation, she says, "I thought you said I had 30 more years." And the voice says, "I'm so sorry. I just didn't recognize you." Well, when that day comes for you, don't you want him to recognize you? Don't you? This is our time of meditation and commitment as we stand this morning. Would you stand? And as God, if he's spoken to your heart, would you speak to him? What kind of commitments do you need to make this morning? Let him into your heart afresh. Invite him in as Savior and Lord of your life. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would take us as we are and mold us and remake us and remake us again and again, as you might fashion here a people of your own heart, and then take us and use us in a way that would lift up Christ day by day. In his name we pray.